So Krishna's not attracted by worship and awe and reverence. Okay. We have the word Mishrita. We often talk about karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti. Bhakti mixed with karma or jnana. So this is bhakti mixed with jnana. Aishwarya jnanita. And jnana of what? Of Krishna's opulence is Aishwarya. Okay, we're going to read both the translations together and then I'll read the purport to text 16. Everywhere in the world, this is what Krishna's thinking after he incarnates. This is, again, the reasons why Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's incarnated as Krishna, and what he's thinking when he incarnates as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulated principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vrajabhumi. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. After his appearance, Lord Krishna thought that he had not distributed the transcendental personal dealings with his devotees in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala, and Madhurya. Why would Krishna think that? In Krishna's appearance, didn't he display the transcendental dealings of his devotees in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala, and Madhurya? Didn't he? Did he or not? Yeah. So, what does Prabhupada mean by this sentence? After his appearance, Lord Krishna thought that he had not distributed the transcendental personal dealings with his devotees in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala, and Madhurya. What do you think Srila Prabhupada means by that? That it wasn't freely distributed. Okay, so maybe Prabhupada means by distributed that he gave it out, but not freely, not openly. Okay? Any other ideas what Srila Prabhupada means by this sentence? Okay, so you're looking again at the word distributed. That it wasn't taught, the process for attainment wasn't taught. Okay, other thoughts? Okay, because those devotees were his eternal associates. Of course, not all the devotees who came with Krishna were coming from the spiritual world. There was a class of devotees, even gopis in the Rasalila, who were coming from the sadhana siddha platform. One may understand this, so going on with the purport, one may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literature and thus become a devotee of the Lord and worship Him within the regulated principles described in the scriptures. So when Prabhupada uses the term regulative principles, Prabhupada uses this term in basically two different ways. One is the four regulated principles, and the other is the process of devotional service, the 64 items of devotional service. So, which way do you think Srila Prabhupada is speaking about here? 64 items, yes. One may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literature, and thus become a devotee of the Lord and worship Him within the regulated principles described in the scriptures. But one will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Vrajabhumi. So what is Prabhupada saying there? One will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Vrajabhumi. I mean, is this important to know how to attain Raganuga Bhakti? Are we interested in this topic? Are there... is this a controversial topic, shall we say? Not really. Okay. Good. Now, this was a controversial topic for Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. This is not a new controversy. You aware of this? This was controversial for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. We'll discuss that in a minute. Okay, so what does this mean? If you worship him within the regulative principles described in the scriptures, one will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Rajabhumi. One has to come through Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Okay, what else do you think Prabhupada might mean by this? You guys can also say it. He can translate, you know. Yes? Okay. Yes? Yes? Okay, so you're saying that you think what Prabhupada means by this sentence is that most people are not even taking up bhakti, and that first you have to have the background of Vaidhi Bhakti to understand. Okay, other thoughts? Is that correct? No? One cannot understand the dealings of the Lord in Vrindavan simply by executing the ritualistic regulated principles mentioned in the scriptures. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there is no chance for one to enter personal dealings with him. Would you say that that is a heavy statement? No? You say no? Yes? Let's try reading this again. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there is no chance for one to enter personal dealings with him. What did Prabhupada just say in that sentence? I find that to be an extraordinary statement. Of course, that statement is coming from what part of the verse? Verses. Which line in these two verses is Srila Prabhupada getting that statement from? Second line of the first verse. Vidhi bhaktye vraja bhava paite nahi shakti. It doesn't have the potency to give that. So Prabhupada said there's no chance. What does that mean? Yes or no? Okay, thank you very much, Prabhu. So you're saying it's the difference between the outward show and really dealing with God as a person, giving him like a gift on Janmashtami. So on one platform on the intelligence platform you've accepted that he's God, but there's not actually any love. Okay. Well, any other thoughts on this sentence? Want me to read it again? By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there is no chance for one to enter personal dealings with him. Other thoughts? Yes, Prabhu. Well, that might be interesting. Which injunctions is Srila Prabhupada referring to here? I think that's... Is it clear? No. That's what we're taught, right? I mean, this seems to contradict what we're generally taught, that if you follow Vaidhi Bhakti, that will have the potency at some point to mature into Raganuga Bhakti. Don't we usually teach that? And here it's saying it doesn't have that potency. Paite nahi shakti. And Prabhupada says here, there's no chance. What does this mean? Next sentence. Well, that's also what Prabhupada proved. Just following for the sake of following. Of course, just following for the sake of following is called Niyamagraha. Is that what Srila Prabhupada means? You have to get bhakti latif seed from the guru. Of course, that's part of following the scriptural injunctions, though. Rupa Goswami says the most important part of following the scriptural injunctions is to accept a spiritual master, to take initiation from that spiritual master, and to serve that spiritual master, follow the spiritual master's instructions. Then Prabhupada says another very interesting sentence here. I believe we could speak about this one purport for about a month, at least. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering personal loving affairs with the Lord. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering personal loving affairs with the Lord. Any idea what Prabhupada means by this sentence? Yes, Prabhupada. Yeah, it is very specifically that, because we're saying Vidhi Bhakti Vrajbam. This is specifically talking about Vraj Bhakti versus Vaikuntha Bhakti. Definitely. This is not speaking about the difference between Vraj Bhakti and being a demigod, or merging into the Brahman, or being a yogi. It's speaking about the difference between Vraj Bhakti and Vaikuntha Bhakti, which is also bhakti. So what does Srila Prabhupada mean by this sentence? Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chances of one's entering personal loving affairs with the Lord. Yes. So if you're hearing too much about Krishna's opulences, you'll get more too much into a mood of awe and reverence. Does Prabhupada advise us to hear about Krishna's opulences? Yes. Okay. Last sentence in this purport. To teach the principles of such loving dealings, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya. So I really felt that speaking on these verses and purports was a great challenge because there are statements here that seem to be somewhat different than a lot of our general teaching. I mean, what we generally hear, what Srila Prabhupada generally emphasizes, is by following Vaidhi Bhakti that Vraj Prem will eventually awaken. And here it's saying that Vaidhi Bhakti doesn't have the power. Prabhupada's using words like no chance. That there's no chance of it developing. So I'd like to first look at this in the context of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that's the context in which these verses are spoken. And you know, some of you have visited our tent where we have the talking books. And what I found was, I've been demonstrating these since January in Mayapur, and I've had a very interesting experience that If I tell people about the books, I'll say, oh, the books do this and the books do that, and you touch the pages and they talk, and you touch the pictures and they talk, and you do this, people will say, oh, that's really interesting. Wow, that sounds fantastic. But then when I show it to them, the same people, there's a completely different reaction. And it just happened to me. I'm sorry to use this as an example, but it's just right there. So just on Janmashtami, I was speaking to one teacher, and she said, yeah, it sounds interesting. Maybe you could come to the school and give a demonstration. And, you know, there's so many things competing for our attention and this and that. I said, look, why don't you come actually experience it? And then she came and saw them, and she said, okay, give me 6 complete sets. At Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati uses this example with swimming. You know, we're going to have a class on swimming. This is how you swim. But you have to get in the water. I mean, what to speak of knowing how to swim? What does it feel like to swim? Could you explain to somebody who's never been swimming, what does it feel like to swim? I mean, try. How do you explain that? Or how do you explain, you know, a gulab jamun? A really squishy, round pancake with a lot of syrup. It doesn't quite get it, does it? Even a syrup-drenched pancake, you know, it's not really a gulab jamun. If you want to say, what's the difference between the flavor of a mango and the flavor of a papaya? You could give somebody the chemicals, make a little chart of the atomic and molecular structure. Have you been working too hard on Janmashtami and Vyas Puja and eating too much cake? You can always stand up. You can stand up. And if that doesn't work, you could go to your room and take a nap. So you could give somebody, you know, a description of the molecular structure of the mango and the papaya, but would that really explain to somebody the difference in the taste? I mean, what does a mango taste like? Could you do it? What does it taste like? I mean, just even thinking about it, what does it taste like? You have to experience it. So just going through the process of bhakti, one has to get some experience. And if you think about Krishna's lila, I like what you said about Krishna's eternal associates. Of course, Krishna was also in his lila 5,000 years ago. He was also having the participation of those who were sadhana siddha. And certainly not everybody in Krishna's lila was siddha. It's not that every single person in Vidarbha was already a pure devotee. So there are certainly some peripheral people who were entering into Krishna's pastimes in Krishna's incarnations. But still, Krishna didn't show how to become a devotee. There's a big difference between showing the perfection and showing the process. There's a really big difference. And again, I'll just speak from my own area. I hope. One of my students who attended my classes once said, Nirmala, you give too many examples from teaching. I said, I don't know what else to do. So, just like in these books, we're teaching children how to read. So one of the big challenges we had in creating the books is that once you already know how to read, to a large extent, you forget the process of how to read. So, for example, in the process, you're sounding out individual letters and groups of letters. But you don't do that as an experienced reader. You don't say cat. You just say cat. And we were trying to group the words by the particular sounds the letters make. But we're so used to just reading them and talking that we weren't even aware of them anymore. So, for example, we were teaching the long oo sound of you. Like the difference between cut and cute, right? You add the E, it says oo instead of ah. So we put the word huge in the book. Instead of hug, it becomes huge. And it wasn't until quite a while that we realized that in huge, the G doesn't say g like hug, it says j. Because there's an E after it. And we hadn't taught G as J yet, and it would confuse the little children, and we had to move the word out of the book. Did you all understand what I just said? So my point is that because we're already good readers, we forget the process. We forget the process. Or we had one, even toward the end of the project, we had one picture of pictures. There's an O in the middle. Find all the pictures that start with the letter O. And one of the pictures was an owl. Well, an owl starts with the letter O, doesn't it? But it doesn't make an O kind of sound. It makes an ow sound. It doesn't make the sound of O in pot, and it doesn't make the sound of O in opera. It makes an ow sound. And someone went to test it with a child and said to me, "This doesn't work." And that was at the end. After we'd had six people spending 6 months going through all of the list of words, we still had one that was wrong. Seriously, 2 weeks before we were ready to print. And I had to write the artist, "Make me a new picture." I forget what she did, office maybe. So my point is, what's perfected is different from the process. And you know, there's a group of people who like to teach reading by trying to have the students immediately do the perfected process. So they say, why should the children have to sound out k, t, k, k? Why should they have to sound it out? Let them just read the whole word. In fact, good readers don't just read a word, they read a phrase. We usually read a few words at a time, and we guess what the next word's going to be, or even the next phrase. And we're doing that by our knowledge of conversational language, by our knowledge of grammar, and by our knowledge of the pattern or the flow of a story of an essay. We know this is the kind of thing I'm most likely to read next, and then we test our predictions. So people thought, why are we taking children through the laborious process of sounding out the letters? Just have them immediately learn how to read like a good reader. What do you think happened? Not very many children learned how to read that way. It was basically a failure. They would give children right from the beginning a whole phrase, "Run to the mat," and hold it up and tell the children, "Now do what it says." But they couldn't even make out the sounds of the words. Right? This was done in mathematics also. In America, it was called the new math. But nobody learned mathematics like that. So the process, do you ever think like that? Sometimes when you read in the scriptures of the behavior of the perfect devotee, and you think, well, what? How do I get from here to there? I've got some idea of the goal, but that's so far from where I am. I don't relate to it. It doesn't make any sense to me. How do I become Krishna conscious today? When I'm putting on my socks, when I'm going to work, when one of the other ladies in the Brahmacharini ashram yelled at me because I didn't clean up the water by the kitchen sink properly. Then how do I become Krishna conscious? So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to show the process. At first, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears like just a ritualistic follower of the Vedas. In fact, the other devotees in Navadvipa didn't want to associate with him. I know, it's been a really hard festival. You can stand up like she's doing. It's definitely been stress, right? We've all been sleep deprived. So, first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts out just like a ritualistic brahmana, and he would even argue with the devotees against the conclusions of bhakti. Now, he was a very good ritualistic brahmana. He was a teacher, he knew logic, he was so expert, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could present a logical argument, defeat his own argument, defeat his defeat of the argument, defeat is defeat of the argument, and go on like that. He was known as Nimai Pandit. And then he took initiation from Ishwar Puri. At that point, he started to change. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became what? A teacher of bhakti. First he was teaching bhakti in Navadvipa. So instead of just teaching grammar, he was teaching all the parts of grammar as names of Vishnu, from which Jiva Goswami developed his grammar book. Then he decided to teach not just as a grihastha, so he taught as a grihastha platform of bhakti for about 10 years. And then in Jagannath Puri, and he traveled throughout India, he taught as a renunciate the process of bhakti. And then the process of bhakti as teaching, as sankirtan, as instructing others. And then at the very end of his manifest pastimes, he taught the process of nirjana bhajana, how to be personally absorbed in ecstatic devotional service. So I did a little research about Srila Prabhupada's explanation of going from Vaidhi Bhakti to Raghunuga Bhakti, or going from the regulative principles of the scriptures to developing the real sentiments, as we're saying here, Vraj Bhav. And it's very interesting what Srila Prabhupada said was the deciding factor, especially as it relates to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Because as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started manifesting the mood of Vraj Bhav, what did he do? He was preaching. You see, he started preaching. He started preaching in Navadvipa. And then he started preaching in Jagannath Puri and all around South India and in Vrindavan. Before that, he had not been preaching. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't stay on, it was in a lecture on the second chapter. He said, don't stay on the platform of being a Prakriti Bhakta. He said, come to the second class platform. Second class platform means you want to do good for everyone. How is it that wanting to do good for everyone or wanting to preach starts pushing one from Vaidhi Bhakti to the mood of Vrindavan or Vraj Bhav? Selflessness, but you could be selfless just also on the platform of Vaidhi, yes? Certainly, Krishna becomes pleased and bestows his blessing. Of course, Krishna is also pleased. It's not that Krishna is not pleased with the residents of Vaikuntha. Krishna is certainly pleased with the residents of Vaikuntha. Yes? I'm sorry, could the water thing? Yes, I think really that's the essence. That the residents of Vrindavan have this mood of preaching. That's their mood. The chief of the residents of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, that's her mood. And I've given this example before. In this world, your girlfriend doesn't want you to have more girlfriends. Generally. Generally. Not always. Not always. There are some women who are attracted to a man who already has 100 women. There are women like people who follow around rock stars, and you know they're more interested in the man because he already has 10,000 women following him. But generally speaking, in this world, a woman's thinking, I want to possess this man myself. I want him to be all mine. If he even talks to another woman and says, you know, what's the weather going to be like today? She may become angry. So that's not Srimati Radharani's mentality. Of course, sometimes she acts like that in Leela. But that's not her mentality. Her mentality is she wants to bring everyone to Krishna. That's her mentality. And that's really the mentality. And she is the queen of Vrindavana. Everyone in Vrindavana has that mood. What is the mood of Vrindavana? We're talking about Vraj Bhava. I mean, part of the mood of Vrindavan, as Prabhupada refers to in this purport, is not thinking so much of Krishna's opulences, thinking more of Krishna rather than Krishna's opulences. Of course, you can say Krishna and his opulences are the same. But there's still a difference between being attracted to somebody because of their opulences and being attracted to somebody because of them. I mean, we feel different if somebody wants to be with us because we're famous, or because we're rich, or because we're smart, or because we have some title, and they want to be with us just because they want to be with us. And we're always wondering, why do people want to be with me? What are they hoping to get? So if you say, well, I really want to be with Krishna because he's so rich and he's so famous and he's so this and he's so that. Or I want to be with Krishna just because I want to be with Krishna. I don't care who he is, what's his position. He's got the biggest title, God. So that's certainly part of the mood of Vraj Bhav. But another part of the mood of Vraj Bhav is I want to bring other people to Krishna. You could say that it's a lot of the essence of Vraj Bhav. Mother Yasoda also has this mood, Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. They want as many people as possible to serve their darling son. They're not just wanting to keep him in their own house locked up. We see when Krishna expands himself as all the cowherd boys, then he becomes directly the son of all of the older cowherd women and cowherd men in Vrindavan. Of course, people are not directly aware of that fact, but that's very pleasing to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda. They're not thinking, I want to keep Krishna to myself. It's not their mood of the cowherd boys. They want more and more and more people to come play with them. It's not like, oh, we're going to have some exclusive club. And from the platform of the 11th canto Bhagavatam, understanding what is the Majjhima Bhakta is one who sees God, the innocent, the other devotees, and the demons, and acts accordingly, and preaches to the innocent person. So it was in that context that Srila Prabhupada was saying that if you want to rise to the next platform, you have to do good to others. But simply just following the regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti alone, doing that alone, it's not saying we shouldn't follow the regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti, because that's also something Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. One might look at this and say, okay, Vidhi Bhakti, Rajabhava, Paiti, Nahi Shakti. The Shakti's not there, so I won't do the regulations. I'll just immediately try to come to the platform of Vraj Bhav without the regulations. But then you have the children who tried to learn how to read without going through the process of learning how to read. It didn't work. It worked for a few of them. But generally, it didn't work. It was a failure. Now they're saying, oh no, you have to go step by step. So what happens when people try to go immediately? You end up with all these strange things like men putting on saris. If you don't go through the regulations of the scriptures, you're just making something up. Well, that's not going to help you. I think I'm going to do it this way. I think I'm going to be Krishna and let me invite all the married women to dance with me in the middle of the night, and that way I'll enter into Vraj Bhav. So if you don't have some process, then you end up with something very strange. So we're saying that just Vaidhi Bhakti alone, that doesn't mean you give up Vaidhi Bhakti. It means you do Vaidhi Bhakti understanding the mood of Vraj. And you intentionally try to cultivate that mood, even from the beginning. Even from the beginning. From the first day you enter the Hare Krishna movement, you're allowed to read the Krishna book. We don't say, first you have to perfect your Vaidhi Bhakti, and then you can read Krishna book. Which is interesting, because, of course, in the Bhagavatam, you're supposed to go first through the 9th cantos before you read the 10th canto. Prabhupada gave us 10th canto immediately. We were distributing Krishna book, in the 1970s to people out on the street, to people eating cows. Here, read Krishna book. We're still doing that, right? We still distribute Krishna book, or only Bhagavad Gita? We distribute Krishna book. We don't keep it out of our shops, right? Could you imagine going to the shop here? No Krishna books, okay? First, make sure they're free of the modes of material nature, then they can read Krishna book. That was from the very beginning. In the very beginning, we're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I mean, I remember being in O'Hare Airport distributing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And out on the streets of New York distributing Anchalila. And sometimes we were thinking, how are we giving this book to people? I don't even understand this book. I'm giving it to people on the street. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thinking the ocean is the Jamuna and jumping in the ocean and being in the ecstasy of the gopis, and I'm going to giving it to, you know, somebody who's drinking and smoking and eating meat and whatever. Now you'll notice though that if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read Krishna book, what do you have in there? A lot of philosophy. Yeah, Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada's philosophy. It was extremely rare, if ever, that Srila Prabhupada just told Leela without philosophy. I'd like to have somebody find it. In fact, Srila Prabhupada generally started with the philosophy and interwove the Leela. And in something like Krishna book, he started with the Leela and interwove the philosophy. Prabhupada was always interweaving rasa and tattva. And if you find that many of the books, even of the six Goswamis, they're not like that. You know, now these books have been translated and they're widely available, which is interesting. And often people without guidance will just, the first book they're reading is some elevated book written by the Goswamis. Before they've even read, you know, Bhagavad Gita and Ishopanishad or anything like that. But we find that Srila Prabhupada was so expert. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expertly showed us the process. This is how it works. This is how you go from somebody who's just following the regulations to a preacher to somebody who's absorbed in ecstasy. And then Srila Prabhupada said, okay, this is how everyone in the world can do it. Not just an Indian Brahmana. I mean, a real Brahmana. I'm not talking about just somebody with the hereditary. The real deal. There's still some real deals left. But how everybody can do it. How I can do it. How you can do it. How you can do it. From the very beginning, read Krishna book. From the very beginning, preach. I moved in the ashram on Sunday. On Monday, I was out on Harinam. And on Tuesday, I was at the airport distributing books. Which I don't know if that was such a good strategy as far as the PR of the Hare Krishna movement. Because I didn't know what I was doing. Another week or so of training might have been a good idea. I didn't even understand the philosophy that I was trying to convince others of. But what I found was that 2 weeks of being at the airport distributing books gave me so much more conviction. I found that even though I didn't know anything, I could defeat anybody in argument. And I thought, wow, this is really something. I remember meeting these Jehovah's Witnesses. And they said, oh yes, we're also going to heaven. I said, very nice, what will you do there? They said, we will do exactly the same things we're doing now. I said, really, will you watch TV and go to McDonald's? Remember that. I think I was, you know, chanting Hare Krishna for 3 days when I had that conversation. So one gets immediately in the mood of the residents of Vrindavana. Immediately. That's their mood. That's their mood. But it is a fact, if you just do the regulative principles, just okay, I'm going to worship the deity, I'm going to do this. And you never get in this mood of helping others. You never get in this mood of preaching. And you don't really start developing a desire for the mood of the residents of Vrindavana. Then the Shakti's not there. Of course, it's not that Vaikuntha is just some kind of booby prize or something. We're not disparaging Vaikuntha. We're not criticizing the devotees of Vaikuntha. They're all great, pure devotees. At the same time, Krishna is very interested. Krishna is very interested talking about Radharani, Mother Yasoda, Krishna is very interested in increasing the population of Goloka Vrindavan. That's what Krishna is saying in these verses. He says, I want more living entities to come to Vrindavana. It's not just like some secret place that, you know, don't tell anybody about Vrindavana. Just go to Vaikuntha, okay? Like, you know, if somebody gave you a whole tray of Kalangana sweets, are you going to just go in your room and cover it? You know, and just go in your room and lock the door, keep it in your little private fridge under your bed? So Krishna's not thinking like that about Goloka Vrindavana. You know, this is the sweetest of the sweet, let me just hide it. He's saying, hey, I want more people. You know, he gets a whole tray, like when Prabhupada first got the Krishna books. Do you know what he did with them? He gave every copy. Every copy. He hadn't even had a chance to look at it. I said, Prabhupada, you gave away every one. You don't even have one for yourself. Imagine if you got a plate of Kalangana sweets and you were so inspired to give them out. At the end, you looked at the plate and there wasn't a crumb left for yourself. Well, that's the mood of the residents of Vrindavana. That was Prabhupada's mood. Therefore, we can say that Srila Prabhupada was teaching Raghunuga Bhakti from the beginning. Because that's a criticism. Oh, Prabhupada wasn't really teaching Raghunuga Bhakti, he was only teaching Vaidhi Bhakti. No, Prabhupada was teaching the mood of Vrindavan from day one of him coming to the West and from day one of our practice of Krishna consciousness. Now, that's the mood. Of course, it's nice if one can realize that that's the mood and develop it intentionally. That I want to bring everyone to Krishna and I want to cultivate being attracted to Krishna's sweetness, not just Krishna's opulences. Yes, I have to study about Krishna's opulences. Yes, I must first become convinced that Krishna's God. But I want to develop some feeling of affection. And then, yeya tamam prapadyante tam sajaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna is very responsive. If we want to develop that mood, Krishna will awaken it in us. So again, I'm sure we could go on for at least a month, if not 3 or 4 months, on this one purport. I found this quite a challenge. And I hope I've shed some light on it. If I've said something you think is wrong, please ignore it. And if I've said anything that you think is enlivening, I hope you can take it up. Of course, these festivals that we're having are very much in this mood. They're very, very much in this mood. We're not saying, okay, Janmashtami, let's just go to Radhakund and sit and chant. But we're inviting the whole world to come to Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we could take maybe 2 minutes for any other questions or comments.